Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. All right, before we get into today's episode, I just want to introduce our guests today. Elizabeth and I recently were in Los Angeles, and we got to sit down with a new friend. Her name is Megan Fate Marshman. Now, I could just try to recite her bio from memory, but I have to tell you, it would just be too long. So I'm going to read it. I have it right here. Megan Fate Marshman is determined to use her life to spread hope and share truth and celebrate others. And my goodness, she does that. We know that firsthand. Currently, she is finishing her doctorate of ministry as she serves as a teaching pastor at Willow Creek Community Church. She's the director of the women's ministry at Hume Lake Christian Camps, and she also shepherds women at Arbor Road Church in Long Beach, California, where she resides. So we were able to sit down with Megan in her home, and she was so warm, so kind, so full of wisdom. Her story is one of insane, catastrophic loss and redemption and beauty, but not with a pretty bow on it. God is in the middle of a beautiful story with her life. And so I just want to let you know, along the way, there's going to be a lot of different nuggets, and really at the end, we touch on some beautiful stuff. So make sure to listen through to the end. Also, if you haven't had a chance to rate or subscribe to the podcast, whether that be on Apple, Spotify, or even YouTube, would you even just take a moment to rate the podcast, subscribe to it, even leave a comment? Helps us immensely. With all that said, please enjoy today's conversation with Megan Fate Marshman. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. If you are watching us on YouTube or any links right now, you might notice that we are in just a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. And you just heard an intro, which by the way, we'll intro you, of a wonderful, wonderful new friend, if I can say so boldly. Mm-hmm. Megan Fate Marshman, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, so fun to be here with you guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're so happy to be here. And thank you for having us in your home. Yeah. Like, that's also a huge treat to be in the space where life happens with your boys. Intro us a little bit. You have two little guys. What are their names? Give us a little, give us a little history of these two little dudes.
Yep. So two boys, Foster, who's 8, and then Jedediah is 5. Jedediah was renamed while in the womb.
Really?
Yeah. So he had a name. We thought it was neat and trendy. And then my husband was reading scripture one day, came across that at some point, God renames Solomon Jedediah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it just didn't stick because no one refers to him at all the rest of his story.
Yeah.
But when he does, he gives the name in the meeting, which means beloved. Mm-hmm. And man, as I was praying over Jed, I remember there was a moment I had a picture of him. It was an interesting picture. Praying over my son. This is as we were doing the name change, where he's the little guy that like walks up to the base at baseball. And the token picture would be little boy walks up and, you know, he stands at the end, his parents are in the stands. And then like, then he hits the home run. The dad stands up like, that's my boy. But the picture I had for my son was very different. He walks up and he's timid. And then as he's walking up, the dad stands up and yells, that's my boy, before he takes the swing. So I feel like as I introduce these two boys, I don't have a story for Foster, bless him. But Jed, there was this picture of his heavenly father standing up and going like, this is who you are before you take a swing. And if his name, if he lives up to his name, man, already loved, beloved. Yeah. Then can you imagine, like, I just want to send him into middle school and go like, each time someone says your name, you, and the one who speaks your name, like already knows if you're going to strike out, knows if you're going to hit a triple, like swing for the fences, my boy, because it doesn't shift a thing. So those are my two boys. No story for Foz, but that's Jed. That's
okay, let's do that. Why don't you intro, Elizabeth, us where, so we're sitting here. We're so epic. It's so excited to connect with you in lots of ways. But just why don't you tell everyone really quick how we came across some of your wonderful work. Mm-hmm. And then while we're sitting here, and then we just want to hear your story, which I'm really excited about. But maybe just connect us how we all got connected.
Yeah. Okay. So listeners know I have like love-hate relationship with social media.
Yes.
Totally addicted like the rest of the masses, but also hate that it's so distracting and oftentimes not a place where people are real, you know. And I came across a clip of you that has since, what's the word, gone viral for sure. But you were talking about grief and I was so drawn to how you communicated. I sent it to so many of my friends. I have a friend who just lost her brother, sent it straight to her. And I just said, man, like just the fact that you were talking about grief and loss and you were doing it from a place that you had clearly had lived it. I was just so drawn to the realness of it. And you could see through a screen that the Holy Spirit had met you and was meeting you. Mm-hmm. And I was so struck by that in a space where you don't often get to see that through a little screen. And it was so evident and so profound to me personally. Mm-hmm. And that's how I first came across you. I'd never heard of you before, never seen you before, and then totally did the creepy like deep dive into learning about you and started listening. You're a teacher and I started listening to you and have been so blessed by the way you communicate and your deep love for God and deep desire for other people to experience him in that way. And I just have been like, man, we need more people like her in the world. Yes. And then come to find out, I had been like, I want to just reach out and see if maybe she'd do the podcast. And then our dear friend Greta, who's been on the podcast, was like, I know her. I actually know her quite well. I'll connect you. Maybe. So now you're a friend. Yeah. We've been in your house for what, an hour? We're fast friends.
Yeah.
But that's how we first got connected.
That's how we came across.
Yeah.
I mean, in one sense, it's ruining the world, social media. And it's also, there's, I think God redeems a lot of these things too. But you have a story just like we all do, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just be curious for anybody that might not be familiar with your story or know kind of your heart. Obviously, you're a teacher, you're a communicator, you're a writer, you have a book coming out. Mm-hmm. When does it release?
August.
August. Okay. August what?
13th.
Okay. How exciting. Do you want to give everyone the full title?
I do.
But can you?
I can.
Okay.
So the book is called...
Yeah, you have to use the mic on these things.
Yeah,
it's
frustrating. No,
I know. I know. We should get a lapel for you.
Do I talk to you guys or talk to them?
Oh, you just talk to us.
That's what just talk to us.
We don't. We don't look at cameras.
The book is called Relaxed. And the subtitle will explain it, which is Walking with the One Who's Not Worried About a Thing.
Oh,
that's the book. And basically to tie in the book, but ultimately tell my story.
Yes.
In February of 21, I was on an airplane coming back from a speaking engagement, which still surreal. I get to do that. What a privilege. Coming back and I was reading in Philippians about the whole, like to live as Christ, to die as gain. And I thought it sounded really great, but I was at a season in my life where, and I know how unrelatable this is, where life was going great. So I listen, I'm like, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I'm like, I know heaven's great because I've been told it my whole life, but I'm kind of enjoying this one. And I'm telling my husband this, not knowing that the very next day he would go to heaven. Like the probably most significant part of my story you need to know would be that. And so this book is everything I've learned since he stepped into the game in 3 years of learning how to do finances, learning how to parent two little boys when I didn't sign up to be a single parent. No one, I don't think anyone does, right?
No.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Thankfully, in the past 3 years, I've studied heaven quite a bit. I've done life with God and I've done life without him. And tasted and seen that life with him is way better than my tendency toward autonomy, which is so wild and so common to do the Christian life all by myself. Even though I trust the Lord Jesus with eternal salvation, I still try to figure out all my anxieties by myself. But yeah, this book would be how in the middle of those three, and that's, it feels like it's it, the title for me and life circumstance for me in writing that is the title feels like an act of the Lord, which is the things that I want to talk about is how he really wants to engage with us in every part of our life. So, and walking with him, I sense even as life feels heavy, I'm not truly not carrying it alone. And here would be the like landing point, turns out we don't have to do a single thing by ourselves. Hmm. And yeah. if you're a follower of Jesus and in Christ and he's in you, you are not as alone as you feel ever. You're not just alone, like isolated alone. You're also not alone in any of the decisions, whether or not you've acknowledged him. The Spirit of the living God is with you. It's like we have no idea who it is that we carry with us from place to place. So, so, I mean, that's like not a lot of what I do vocationally, but that is a big, significant part of my story.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying. Honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me," God says, "and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you. By the way, you made me coffee before we started. Really good. I know it was a heavy moment, but it is so good.
And I really wanted to get to that. I'm good at coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
so let me brag. Third just, career could be.
Mm-hmm. You know what's kind of fun? Actually, the coffee is interesting. Just to keep going on this whole
yes,
not doing
please.
It. Okay, so I realize I won't forget to make coffee in the morning. Like that's just something I won't forget.
No, never.
I will forget to pray.
Yes.
So actually making coffee was a delight because there's a trigger in my brain. So I realized like trigger kind of has a bad connotation because it's like definitely triggered.
Well, there's positive triggers and negative.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've made positive triggers everywhere in my life. I mean, if I pull up on a driveway, there's a certain trigger that I do. If I'm in an elevator, there's a trigger. When I floss, I pray for friends. Like I am so forgetful.
Whoa.
My coffee machine is probably the holiest space of my day. When I press that button, like I did when I made yours, there's a certain prayer that my mind triggers to.
Wow.
And I would even say this might be a way to introduce myself because it's how I introduce myself to myself every morning. I imagine an onion and that onion would be me. And then I start with the outside of the onion and the outside is kind of what people see. Mm-hmm. And what I do with the Lord is I peel back each little layer and each morning it's so different. And I feel like if I were to interview you tomorrow, I'd introduce myself very differently. But today I'm an onion and I start with the outside. And this is my conversation with the Lord every single morning. God, I'm not primarily, so today I'm not primarily having a busy day. I'm not primarily a teaching pastor. I'm not primarily an aunt because I get to be my nephew's little graduation. I'm not primarily a single mom, I'm not primarily a widow. I'm not primarily excited. I'm not primarily sad. And basically what I'm doing is like just opening up the layers with the Holy Spirit who knows me better than I know myself. Mm. And he kind of guides it. But the phrase like, I'm not primarily is really interesting because I kind of like peel back each little layer with the Lord. I'm not primarily an author or all the responsibilities we hold. And then I get to the middle and this is where I land. I'm in you.
Yes.
And you're in me. And I linger there before I start putting the layers kind of back on with that lens. And if you're wondering, when your core is there, then you don't have to be defined by the other things. But then when you put those other things on top of who you actually are,
yes,
it's just the way in which it gets expressed.
What I love about you already, and again, fast friends, but you can't help but talk about coffee and make it one of the deepest analogies I've ever heard. I love this about you. Could you walk us through, because obviously you mentioned your story with Randy and your late husband. What a story. So you're finding yourself, you even mentioned it, you're now a widow, you're now a single parent. Maybe walk us through as much as this of the story. You know, you said you were on a plane when he had, no, you weren't on a plane when he passed, but you were processing
the day before.
So yeah, maybe just walk us through some of that, like the process, like obviously he had passed, and then walk us through just maybe how upside down your world was from that, and what did grief look like in those moments, right? These are impossible moments. So I would just be curious if you're okay to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go there. and I hate going there at the same time. Like, I want to go there so that people can, because I know the value of going there for them. So that's why it feels worth it for me. And I feel like a lot of my life, the things that I'm doing, when I imagine like what I know other people need, like I needed a space and people and relationships for like hard and sad to come out to. I needed that. So like, am I willing to go there? Yes. Do I want to? No. You know what I'd rather do? Yeah. Like laugh. Do you want to laugh? Yes. I love laughing. Laughing's fun.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd rather. And
I agree.
And that's the fun thing about being with you guys is we can talk like down there and then we can laugh about some ridiculous stuff. And we have to, right? Because life is silly. But everything flipped on its head and it's weird. Grief is, it feels like a robber, but it's also like necessary because, and I've like, I remember I got asked to speak on it like way early on and I was like, no, I don't.
Of course. Yeah. How hard would it be to do?
I did. I think eventually like 2.5 years later. So probably about 6 months ago. And so I've studied it now a lot. So it's interesting to like, and I even asked the Lord at one point, are you inviting me to like talk about grief or to kind of like share it? Mm. And those feel like very different things. Cause I could tell you about how like, you're unwilling to, you can't, God's not going to heal what you're unwilling to feel. We can talk about like really catchy phrases that are helpful and important. Or another one coming to mind right now is that phrase, like, I just can't believe. Mm. Turns out that's a gift, because if we could believe some of the terrible things we've been through, like we couldn't get through the day. So that phrase I just can't believe is a grace gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be me talking about the concept of grief, but you're asking me about living it, which is messy, and it's weird that because I know how good it is, I want to woo people to it, but when I think about what it's been for me, it's just, it's pain expressed. It's like, what is it, love with no place to go? But I also think like, if I didn't have grief, what would I have?
Yeah.
And so it's also incredibly necessary. Because this world is not as it should be. And I'm like convinced that in the like some moments, and even being in my home is interesting because this is like the couch that I would lose it on. You know, quiet time goes right there. You're sitting in my quiet time spaces where like the most honest prayers I've ever had, like that corner, corner over there is the moment that like I'm yelling because it has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And again, I'm thankful for the information I knew about it that somehow it coming out does something helpful.
Yeah.
And that's why I always will tell, especially groups of women, like, do you ever experience the like ugly cry? And they're like, yes. And you know, I'm like, good, because that ugly was on the inside and it needs to come out. Yeah. And so the uglier, the better. Like, don't leave that stuff in there.
Yeah.
What it does in there versus when it actually comes out is when it can be like looked at and when it can be held by other people who hold it in that moment.
Yeah.
And even anger. Last week I was telling my story to the high school ministry at our church. I had never done that.
Wow.
And the word though that the Lord kind of prompted me to talk about was anger. Mm. And I was like, that's actually a part of grief that I rarely talk about.
Yeah.
I talk about the sad all day long. Mm-hmm. But there's been like anger.
Yes.
Anger. Yeah.
Anger's not often talked about.
No.
So what do you do with it? Oh, and I'll just tell you, I could tell the whole thing, but I'll just tell you where I landed with them. We encouraged high school students, it was actually my friend Phoebe's idea, to move toward each other and pray an honest, angry prayer to the Lord. And the other person just imaged God by being able to handle it and be there with them and sad with them or angry with them or physically hold them, like to be the body of Christ for them. And I sat in the back and watched students. And it for me reminded me like, that's what this journey of grief has been for me, is like moving me towards people. And then turns out there's wild superpowers in grief too, because we all know we need community. We all know we're better together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like grief has caused me to not just believe it, but experience it.
Yeah.
I feel like, Elizabeth, I'm sure you have 1,000 questions. So you go. I don't want to take the next direction, because I know that this has been huge in our story in life too. And we agree. The anger part is also, just as a side note before we go to the next question, it's huge. And I think you're right. It's not talked about, but it leads to
oh man,
copious amounts of anger. And then I think it even leads to shame a lot of the time, because we feel shameful about the fact that there's anger there. I mean, it's not everybody, but I think it's a common situation. Yeah. Anger is such a, be angry and do not sin. I think that's such an interesting thing. Like, anger is not always bad.
No.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of, especially if you are in the Christian space or in Christian culture or subcultures, it gets real messy, because I think there's like a lot of anger of any sort seems bad. So I would love to just say yes to that. And I absolutely agree with where you're coming from on the anger piece. Like, that's been a huge struggle for us in our story of when grief has come of like, I don't usually grieve calmly. I usually grieve in an angry way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could ask you specifically.
But. You know what was a big relief for me?
Tell me.
And prepping on anger in specific. Let's talk about anger.
Yeah.
Is that Psalm 139, which is kind of like that token women's conference, like putting on a sweatshirt.
Yep.
Fearfully, wonderfully made. Like, love it.
But there's so much more in that psalm.
It's an imprecatory psalm. Mm. I didn't know that. I didn't know it's an angry psalm. It's a psalm of hatred where he's like, slay the wicked. Like, and you just kind of skip that part because it doesn't fit on the switch. Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
But when you think about it, then it's like how that psalm builds was mind-blowing to me, where it's like, it's very much the omni characteristics, right? The God is all-knowing, God is all-present, God, and it's really lovely, and he knows me, which, just as a side, was so funny. Once I did a Bible study, we split up the guys and girls to study Psalm 139, and we probably skipped that imprecatory part. But I'll never forget when the boys came, or the girls came back first, and they were like, he knows me. Aw. You know, it's so sweet.
Yep.
And then the boys came back, and they're like, he knows everything, huh?
Like, it was totally like this, like, right.
Contrast. But the context is not just that he knows. It's not just that he is everywhere. It's like, if he really knows absolutely everything. Now I'm going back to myself in grief. Like, if he already knows how angry, and I don't even know how angry, and how much that's destroying, and how angry, how sad, how, if he already knows, if he was with me when it happened, if he was with me every time I felt alone, if he really, if this is all true, like all those things, if I really am fearfully, wonderfully made, and I experience things like anger and sadness, then nothing should be off limits, because it's not going to surprise him.
Yeah.
Mm.
And if anything, it's just finally going to create a space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in my heart anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm convinced, convinced that the greatest lesson I've learned in probably the past 3 years has been the power of honest prayer.
Yes.
That is not shocking to him.
No.
But it's so important to me. One of my professors says, prayer is not a place to be good. It's a place to be
honest. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Isn't that the best though? I mean, when you realize that. But so just mention this, you're also in school. Tell us about that really quick. I mean, this, we're going all over the place, but you're in the middle, you're almost done getting what?
I'm getting a doctorate in spiritual formation and soul care.
That's amazing.
I started it before Randy went to heaven. He pushed me into it. So I felt this need to finish it.
Of course.
And then what I didn't know was the 3-year journey of it. Year one is like, how were you formed? And that whole year was right in the midst of me being formed into a single parent, into a widow. And so it's like, cool, let's talk about that. Let's do prayer projects on that. And it was timely. And then year two is, what's the role of the Holy Spirit, and how do we really? And then year three would be the, like, how does it live out in ministry context?
Wow.
But it's been
quite a journey. The timing of that.
Just thinking that, of like starting before this happened. Uh-huh. How different of a journey your school journey must be compared to what it would have been.
Oh man,
if that had not happened. And I want to take one step back into what we were talking about before. Yeah. In talking about expressing our honest, raw feelings and anger to God, there's something so powerful there that I think has been so suppressed, I want to say, in the church at large. I think it's changing for so long, and we love the church, but where it wasn't okay to talk to God that way. And yet you read the Psalms and you see how David talks to God.
Yeah.
And it's like shocking sometimes. He's expressing his anger to God, at God, about God.
Yes.
Or his anger at other people. And yet the Psalms of Lament were, I was just reading the other day, that they would have been sung as an act of worship.
Could you imagine singing those angry ones?
Like that lament like that to God, with God, is an act of worship.
Hey, like, if you're new at our church,
let's just take all of our anger and sing it to God.
Yes.
But I know for me and my journey of learning what it looks like to grieve with God, anger took me a while to even express.
Yeah.
In the first round of like first real opportunity of real loss and grief with our daughter, I actually wasn't very angry. I was just really deeply sad.
Yeah.
And then when our son got sick, I was angry. And I was angry at God, not in a way that I wanted to reject him, but in a like, I don't understand. Like, you're going to have to help me understand that how could this many things happen and why my kids, like, this is not okay. I remember like half praying, half talking, like half rebuking the enemy, half praying. I'm not sure what I was doing. And yet it was so freeing. I was on a run. It was loud. I was like, the neighbors must think I'm absolutely crazy.
Probably.
But, yeah. But I love that you brought that up because that's just real. And I think so often as believers, unfortunately, we just like tamp that stuff down. Mm-hmm. Or we live so far into it that it's we are truly angry at God and we're not allowing the his relationship and his comfort to just sit with us in that anger. Totally. What has that looked like for you? What did it look like for you in the beginning versus now? Because I know that you will never stop grieving the loss of Randy. Mm-hmm. That will be with you till the day you die. But grief changes over time. Mm-hmm. And there's like, I almost want to call it like the acute grief that happens in the beginning, and then the grief settles in and looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
What was it like for you in the beginning, and what does it look like for you now? I mean, it's only 3 years?
3 years.
Hey, we want to remind you about the Intentional Motherhood Retreat, October 3rd through 5th. Starts on a Thursday night, ends on a Saturday morning here in Bend, Oregon, where we live. Space is filling up quickly, but we do still have some spots left. We'd love for you to come join us. Mom, what else do they need to know?
Well, this retreat really lends itself towards bringing your friends and your family, your sister, your mom, whoever with you. It is an awful lot of fun. And remember that what we're teaching is not about how to be the perfect mom, but how to really respond to God so that he can do the spiritual formation in our lives that all of us are longing for.
Yeah, so to find out more or to register, click the link in our bio, and we can't wait to see you in October.
Yeah, so someone gave the visual and it was really helpful of waves, that it comes in waves. And then what happens over time, and I would say over time, if you're intentional about it. See what I did there.
Yeah.
Yes, good job.
Thanks.
Is it Jerry Sitzer that you got the waves from?
I'm not
Have
sure.
You read his?
Someone probably got it from him who gave He's it to wonderful. Me, who passed it on to someone else.
And yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just said like they just get further and further over time. And it's weird. There's like anticipatory grief, like this week is Father's Day and his birthday, and those will always be side by side.
What was same his birthday day.
His birthday is the 17th, but it will always either be like it's always within the week. So I'm anticipating that grief, and then there's the I'm filling out a form, and they have like parent one, you put in all the information, and then parent two, but it has like the red asterisk, like there's not an option to not fill it out, so you have to like put it for baseball, you know? And so like, there's those like shock moments that you're not ready for. Mm. And then there's the surprising grief or the, you know, picture that comes up or the story you remember or whatever.
I call them sneaker waves, the sneaker waves of grief.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So grief just looks, it looks very different year three.
Yeah.
In fact, I think year three, I know that grief is good. And because it's not as often, I create space for it more than it just happening to me. So, you know, and I'm really grateful for certain people in my family or that put certain things in. For instance, my brother-in-law taught at Mother's Day to light a candle for everyone at the table who's missing a mom and just who that mom is. We're just gonna light a candle. And it's cute because we had like my 93-year-old grandmother at the table and we thought of her mom. Like you just don't.
She's 93? Yeah. That's incredible. Wow. I always love when I meet someone and they're nice. Like, come this is incredible.
Yeah. Can I just do a shout out for old people for a second?
Yes.
I'm in a small group with a group of elderly gals.
Yes.
And one of them is so wonderfully outspoken. This is just a curveball because we're going to go with
please,
it.
Please, please. Yeah.
And I had a moment where I'm like, okay, what do you need this week, Gladys? She wouldn't mind me saying her name. Gladys goes, you know what I need? I'm like, oh, anything, Gladys. She goes, I need you to stop asking me that question because each time you do, or someone does, or basically everyone does, kind of convinces me that I have nothing to offer here. And I love you enough to tell you that I got a lot to contribute and it might just be time.
Whoa.
And she wasn't trying to slam. She's so loving and kind and thoughtful. And she really wasn't a slam. The way I put that was a little sassier. She wasn't sassy one bit. She just goes, you know what? I don't actually need anything. This probably came across like this. Let me try again.
Yeah.
Gladys, and scene. Gladys. Scene. No, Gladys.
I just
know what I need is like, I don't need anything this week. I need to be invited that my time matters. And it's cool because she does, you know, she does have time. My 93-year-old grandmother has a prayer chair. And every morning she hangs out for 2 hours going through the list of prayers and she has certain hymns that she sings and I've written them all down and I'm like, what a gift.
Yes.
But this is another, we don't have to go off in this tangent. I think in the church, we value worship leaders, we value teachers. And I know our whole church is gifted in so many other ways. And I want to find, I feel like this is a new passion of mine, find ways for every person to truly feel valuable, which is why in my own local church where I run women's ministry, we just revamped our whole ministry for the women's ministry to be the ministry of the women. So basically every woman at our church, the highest form of ministry is not the teaching pastor, the nonprofit worker, or the, you know, fill in the blank, whoever you think is like the high and mighty. No. The highest calling is anyone that said yes to Jesus in the first place. Mm. So, listener to the podcast, you all, like, how's your ministry in your home?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How is your ministry? This is like a new revamping. Yes. And I feel like Gladys in that conversation may have been one of the beginning to go like, hey, Gladys, how's your ministry at Art Road going? Mm. Like, what a rich conversation,
It's so interesting. So many people in our age and stage with kids, especially after COVID, during COVID, just stopped going to church altogether. Mm-hmm. It was like, and the real question became, well, why do you go to church? We actually did an episode, we'll put it in the show notes, but we did an episode about this a while ago, like why to go to church. And Ronald Rollheiser wrote this amazing, like it was nine reasons why you should just go to church. So we just said, this is his, we're just going to tell you about it. And the response was massive. But one of the reasons you go to church and one of the reasons that we don't think of as a natural way is so that you can exercise your gifts to a community.
Yes.
And it's a really big part of why we go to church. It's not just so that you can receive. It's actually really not for that. It's that so you can use the gifts God's given you to bless people. Oh. So anyway, when you're saying that, this all come into my mind to just say, oh, yes.
And one of the other reasons was to be with all the generations. Like where else?
Gladys.
Aside from the local church, like are you intentionally with all the generations? You're not. You're with all the people in your...
I'm going to highlight it every time.
I'm sorry. We didn't actually fully pick that name.
But it worked real well. Here's what I love about this podcast and what you guys do is it's... And here's my encouragement to everyone. You don't actually have to do more.
No.
You just need to be...
Intentional. Great
with the
job.
Place that you're actually at. I feel like you're welcome.
Free shout out.
Seriously, you're welcome.
No, seriously, that's true. No, seriously. It's not more. It's just being thoughtful.
It's so true. I'm learning this with my daughter right now. Like, we have four kids. It's hard to give everybody lots of time.
Yes.
You know? And I'm learning with her, if I slow down for like 2 minutes and just look her in the eyes and hold her. She's a physical touch person.
Yes.
Just hold her and look her in the eyes. Say, I just love you and I'm so glad you're my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing today? Like she does not need very much time.
It's so funny. She melts immediately every time.
All of me time for just a minute. And then I can move about and do all the, I can still get all the stuff done.
Wow.
But with her, especially, I think all of our kids, I just have to stop completely.
Yeah. I remember hearing or reading somewhere that if you just look them in the eyes, and how often do we look them in the eyes and just smile?
Yeah.
Because usually when we get eye contact, it's to discipline almost every time, but just like, give me your eyes. What that does.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's just
what even we mean. On a brain, like we're not brain scientists, but even on a brain science level, they're finding like things like eye contact and the things that honestly a lot of our generation is losing, how important those details are to attention and just giving people.
Yes.
I mean, next time you just try this, next time you're at a, like checking out somewhere, whether it's you're getting groceries or whatever, you're at a restaurant, just look the person in the eyes for more than 2 seconds and count to two, and they don't know what to do with themselves, or they'll be like really intrigued by it, or they'll be curious. It's really fun. I just, truth be told, I do these things all the time without talking about it. It's just fun. The social experiments.
Yes.
You know, on the grief topic, back to that, one of the things that
sounds fun.
I won't. This part will be at least not necessarily directly connected, but
please.
So I'm sure you've probably heard this quote, but if you have not, I think it's what you're saying is a little bit from this. And Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she said this wonderful phrase. I came across a couple weeks ago. It's really just put words to what I think so many of us are actually trying to do, especially when you have circumstances that you didn't want, were not something you were hoping for, just challenges, suffering of any kind. And she said, I've decided to choose what I have not chosen. I've decided to choose what I have not chosen.
Ooh.
Using lots of normal words, but in a way that just goes, it unlocks something for me.
What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, so I think it's like, I've decided to choose what I have not chosen. I think it's the form of radical acceptance. It's what Jesus calls us into. And I think grief is one side of it where you're grieving the loss, but there's also a part of, I know for Elizabeth and I can only speak to our life story. I won't even speak to our story. I'll speak for myself that I have to get to a spot of radical acceptance to go, I didn't choose this. I wouldn't necessarily have chosen this. I don't actually like what it has done and the pain it's caused and the challenging parts of it. But I also see the beauty and I see the good and I see that I don't make all the rules. And so I've decided to choose what I have not chosen. I've decided to sit with it, and I've decided to, with God, in a very messy process, learn to accept.
My mind's like flying right now trying to grasp it, because I'm like, I like it, but I can't imagine sitting there and choosing it. Like, but what would that mean? Because I mean, it is outside of my control. So give it to me. Give it to me when you've sat there and made a conscious choice of something that you hated. Like, what was either the result, or how'd you get there? How'd it feel?
Yeah. Mm.
Sorry, we're going to flip this one around.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're fine. I think, well, obviously it's not clear or linear. It's not clean or linear is a great way to say it. So it's messy. Deciding to choose doesn't mean that, okay, now I'm fine with it, right? It's not that. I think what the heart of that idea is getting to the spot where you say to yourself with Jesus, like, I see that this is something that is. I'm not running from it.
Yeah.
This has happened.
Yeah.
That's not changing. Now, I can run from it and pretend it didn't happen, and I can ignore it. I cannot work through it.
Yeah.
Or I can decide to choose what I have not chosen. I can decide to be in this process with you, to let you form me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, insane loss or pain or suffering of any sort usually just causes, you know this better than anybody, causes two extremes. It's running or it's diving deeper. You don't really stay in the middle. No. You become disformed really quickly if you don't choose, at least in my experience. Yeah. So.
Yeah. My word probably would be, I'm going to open to it. So that's like, and that's where I'm like, okay, I can connect to it. If I go, okay, I'm going to open to what's there. It reminds me of David Kessler, who did the On Grief and Grieving. He co-authored it with the gal that wrote all the big grief stages books.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then he lost someone after she had passed.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And then he wrote a sixth stage after losing someone, which was meaning.
Yes,
and he goes, I'm not trying to find a meaning from it. Like, there's nothing that will feel worth it. Yes. He goes, but I'm going to make meaning. That's what I'm going to do, which I really liked that. And that makes me think, like, one of the gifts for me in opening it, and in your words, or Saint Teresa.
Long time ago. Might not be accurate now.
But the one gift of opening to it, embracing whatever we're choosing, I think the one gift of loss. So if someone has encountered loss, let me remind you of a gift that you do not realize you have. And we have to be careful with the gift, is you start to care a whole lot less about things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you care a whole lot more about things that do. Yeah. So,
wow.
And I'll tell you, it's so freeing to sit in this podcast. In the first half, I was thinking, I think I cried the whole first half. And I don't care about being like,
good.
I don't care about looking like I have it together or keeping up with whoever the Joneses are in the first place. Yeah. I don't feel the need. I feel so free. And I wish every woman, because again, that's what I can speak to, felt as free as I do in most social settings. to not be consumed with what people think about me. Because wow. I lived that way for 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of tiring and exhausting. And our mind can only really do one thing. And so being consumed with managing everyone's perception of you is so exhausting.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you floss someone, and I remember the way I got there was week one. I'm having a conversation with my gal friends out there since we're in my home. And I'm just like, I can't even sit up. I'm laying down and I'm like, I'm kind of mad. And they're like, what about? And I'm like, at math. They're like, what? I'm like, I feel like Randy and I in 10 years of marriage, we're just beginning to really like live into like two becoming one. Like we knew it was true, but like every time he felt something, I felt it with him. Like I felt his celebrations more so than he felt them. Like we were so one. And then my question was like, so what happens when one loses one? Like, how's that math? How does that math work? Freaking hate math. And I have such good friends that they didn't answer. No shallow answers. In fact, that's just sometimes what we need is someone just to sit there and hate math with you.
Yes.
You
know?
And they did.
Yes, man.
And 6 months later, I had to give a speech at a wedding, one of my friend's weddings. I set her up with her guy. And I was going to give the speech. And I'm like, this is a happy, sad day. My son actually gave me those language. Happy, sad. Today's happy, sad. And when I asked him, like, where'd you get that? He's like, happy because dad is with Jesus. Sad because dad is in heaven. And then happy because dad is in heaven with Jesus. Happy, sad.
Wow.
So on that happy, sad day of my friends, something great happening for her and me sitting there alone. On that happy, sad day, I was thinking about the math again. Like it came to me as I was considering what I was going to say at the speech. And it was like, wait a second. And I went back to the friend with the math and I'm like, did it? Like, and we started talking about it. And she goes, I think actually a long time ago, I realized your math problem. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, Megan, I've watched you live in the past 3 years, or at that point, 2 years. She goes, half of you's in heaven. Like, I see it.
Whoa. Mm.
So if you've lost someone significant, half of you, like, especially a spouse, like, or a child or a parent, sibling, like, a portion of you is there. Like, choose it. Choose to see the gift of that perspective of this life being this short and God going, just love a bunch of people because I already love you.
Yeah.
Like if only we would choose that. So to finish out your quote, I'm with you because I choose that all day until I meet him face to face.
Oh, way to take it to the next best level.
You want to talk about coffee?
Yeah. No, I don't want to talk about coffee. I have a thousand.
It makes me think of the pastor of the church we go to. They lost twin daughters at birth. Mm. And the phrase that they have just clung to and live into is one day closer.
Yes.
Oh. That every single day is one day closer to being with Jesus, one day closer to being with their girls, and especially on the anniversary of the loss. That is like, we're 1 year closer. We're, you know, living fully. I mean, it's radically changed how they live here in the present, but that half of them is in heaven.
That's it.
Like that hope they're one day closer to being with Jesus ultimately. Yeah. But to being with their girls, and it's beautiful.
Well, with the remainder of our time, I would love to talk with you just a little bit about what it's like to be a single mom. Because one of our values with Intentional is we don't speak to things that we haven't lived. And we are very careful because we get a lot of questions like, hey, can you talk about this topic around single parenting or being a single mom or a single dad?
Yeah.
And truly, that's not our lived experience at this point. And so we've always been very aware of like, hey, we want people to speak to us, but we want to talk to people that are literally living it and that can speak the language.
Yeah.
So just maybe for the remainder of our time, I would just love to, and take this wherever you want.
Sure.
I have no doubt that you'll take it somewhere great. But what is that like? Yeah. What are you learning? Yeah. What hope can you maybe give those listening that are in that space?
Yes. Most importantly, I would say that being a single parent and single parenting are very different.
Break that down. Yes.
Being a single parent is being a parent. It's the fact. Mm-hmm. It's a fact that I hate and I did not choose. So I don't choose that. I did not choose it.
Sure.
But I'll choose the gifts. Not a lot of gifts there. Okay. I am a single parent, but I'm not single parenting my kids. But I'll tell you, I have had to be very intentional to invite people into that space. because although at early on, especially with loss, like a lot of people want to help or whatever. And then we do that silly thing where we think like independence is a virtue, mm-hmm. you know, especially widows. Oh, it is like a, it is a problem that just we want to be able to figure things out on our own. And kind of rightfully so, like with Google and YouTube, I've learned how to like change sprinkler heads, yes. like fix cabinets. I'm like, yeah, and everyone is probably applauding me right now and yeah. they should. And also, unfortunately, that builds in me this yeah. like independence is a virtue.
Yeah.
And yet it's, yet dependence is a virtue in the faith. So it's like, we have to yeah. be mindful of that. And God says like, not good for man to be alone. So what? Yeah. Like, okay, so, yeah. so find out, I'm in a pickle. Yeah. Yeah. But I would say, I can even remember one message I'd given. I was asked to speak on Father's Day. And I'm like, and I got to acknowledge like where kind of a lot of people were out in the audience. Like maybe like Father's Day, it's a gift for you. We're all really excited for you. Maybe other people, it's sad because the word that comes to mind for you is abandonment. Maybe another kid, guy, it's abuse. Like maybe another one is just like apathetic. Maybe Father's Day is awful for these reasons or good for these reasons. Yeah. Or maybe you're like me where it's half and half. I have an amazing dad and father-in-law. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm. Amazing. And my boys don't have a dad.
Mm. Yeah.
So Father's Day, it's a blend as with most things, right? And so I was giving the message and as I was prepping it, I had a moment where I was like, wait a second. And then I ended up like getting a hold of a list of guys that I ended up in that message sharing like, but I want to take a moment and name all the guys who filled in the gaps. And I got to name them all. But the fun part for me was those were all guys that on Randy's birthday, I bought them all gifts. And I was like, just so you know, like Randy was who he was because you were in his life. And so if I can have these boys grow up to be anything more like Randy, wow. having you in their lives, it's going to be probably pretty significant to that. So I want to invite you to please be a part of it specifically yeah. in this way. And I still to this day see those guys carrying those Yeti mugs that I got for Randy's first birthday apart. So you have to sometimes invite it, especially for me with like men, because people feel timid. People don't know what to do and they kind of wait for me to take the lead. And so on this one, I didn't want a parent alone. I knew that I couldn't. Yeah. And thankfully, my son Foster's first day of life, Randy and I made a decision because he was in the NICU for the first couple of days. We didn't know he'd be fine. He was fine. But I'll never forget day two, I'm in a room shared with another new mom who's complaining because her baby's crying and my kid's not even in the room. And I'm having this like, meh. And Randy looked at me. He's like, oh, did we put the baby carrier in the car? And I was like, yeah, yeah. He goes, wait, I finished the crib. I'm like 6 months ago. You know, he's like, did we do the room? Yeah, I'm like, yeah. yes. Yeah. Do we buy the clothes? Yes. Do we have diapers? We don't have diapers. I'm like, of course. And now I'm getting a little worked up. Like, yeah. and he's going through sure. every way we've prepared for this little nugget baby boy. And we're going, and then he lands at, and I think there's only one thing we forgot. I'm like, there is. He's like, that we're going to need the Lord. So let's start on, at that point, day two, needing him. And who knew that that would be so, and the best part is, the people around me, physical people around me. I love the descriptor of the church as Christ's body. Mm. That day two prayer, we're going to need the Lord. Mm. And guess one of the greatest ways he shows up? I can't imagine having lived the past 3 years without being part of the local church because they've literally been the body. They've picked up my boys because I can't be two places at once. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I would say it's fun because I'm speaking on Father's Day yet again, and I'm going to give the same little moment.
Wow.
But the weird part is some of the guys have changed and some I've invited into and some have like naturally faded, and that's okay. And I'm looking forward to doing it again and also telling every man that even if you don't have a biological child, and if there's any guys listening, man, listen in, you have no idea. I speak on behalf of all women.
Yeah.
That men, you have no idea that you have probably some idea, but no idea the power of your words and influence and physical presence.
Yeah.
What an honor to be someone that can let men know that sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just need to physically be somewhere. And it's so overwhelming
sometimes, though. I was talking to a dad about this recently. It was like, we have an abnormal, almost, it feels, it's an imbalance of weight and authority in certain areas. Mm. that where you're right, you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
And it's both beautiful. It's also something that has to be respected and honored and not abused. And I think that's where you get, you just don't even understand your own influence and power. Yeah. So I really appreciate you saying that.
You know, there's one more thing I want to add to the whole single parenting thing.
Please.
And it's a funny one, which is just this, like, it's really hard. Mm. But that wasn't a surprise because parenting was way harder than I thought.
Welcome to the club.
So it's funny, I can sit here and like people can imagine how hard it would be to be a single parent. It is very hard. But the truth is, parenting is very, very hard. It's very hard. And I learned at school, so I'll bring a little academia to our conversation.
Please.
That was so helpful. It's kind of where I want to even land in general, because I want to land there all the time. That there's this thing called the sanctification gap, which is very simply like, this is where I want to be. Let's use the parenting. Here's where I want to be as a single mom or a parent in general. Yeah. And here's where I realize I am. What do you do in the moments in the home when you realize you're not as you should be?
Yeah.
And there's three temptations and I've lived into all three. First one would be just, never going to figure it out. And that's why, just despair. Like, I'm just not going to get better at this. And those are those moments you're like sitting in the corner, like crying, or maybe that's just me. And you just kind of like despair. Cause like, it's like, I've literally tried, I've read the books and like, I actually did everything I think I wanted to do or did not do anything I wanted to do. And what in the world? So despair. The second one would be, and this would be like, not just parenting, but just in life when you realize you're not as you should be, maybe in church on Sunday mornings. The second one is like, I'm in moral temptation. Screw it. I'm just not going to care. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm just, you know, I'm out and people leave the church because of this. Like I'm going to show up to church and you're going to tell me how bad I am. I'm going to read a book and it's going to convince me I'm a bad parent. Like, no, thank you.
I'm
a podcast. Nah. Mm-hmm. Third one. And this is the one that surprised me. And this is the one I found myself in the most. Third temptation when I realized I'm not as I should be is the moral temptation, which is simply this, to try to just do better by yourself. Wow. In the weakness of the flesh, I'm going to read the next book, listen to the next podcast. I got this.
Yep.
Wow.
Now those are temptations, and thanks be to God that the best response to me not being as I want to be as a single parent, which I can't be good. And there's like this like relief to that. But here's because the best response to that reality is not even mine. The Lord moves toward us, right? When we couldn't get to him, he comes to us. And of course, the gospel, right? Comes to us, couldn't get to him, he comes to us. Makes a way, of course, dies on the cross to take that which we deserve, rises to give us life in him. And here's the big surprise. He doesn't just do that once at Christmas time. He continues to meet me right where I'm at. And here's the full circle. As I'm honest there. Yes. And that's where I land, is not trying to figure it all out, but admitting this is so hard and actually putting that voice into a prayer instead of abandoning, despairing, or just trying to do it by myself.
Wow.
And thanks be to God, he moved toward me to where I could just be honest about those places.
Wow.
He meets me there, doesn't always fix me there, but I'm not alone there. And he's prepared everything in advance for me to eventually do. So
man,
I don't have to figure it out.
That
I feel
is
like I can just exhale.
Yeah, I was going to say that is the best way to end this conversation today. Megan, thank you for depositing into just our lives in the sense of the work you do, but also in this moment. I could not be happier with our conversation. And your book's coming out in August. Get the book, relaxed. Yes.
I pre-ordered it this morning.
Hey.
Well, oh, you did? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's like, in our budget.
Yeah. No, sweetheart, did you add that to YNAB?
Keep just ordering books. He's like, are we going to talk about this?
Yeah.
Like,
we usually talk about everything, but there are certain things. Thank you for your time. Thank you for depositing. Thank you for using your life and stepping into the unknown, the pain, and letting God transform that and be a blessing to people. Because I know for us, and we're just one example of so many that are being encouraged and changed through your work and your ministry. Yeah. Best places to find you. Would you tell us that?
Oh, or
all the things. We'll have some links in the show notes for people if they want to find more of your stuff. But thank you for all that you're doing. And I'd like to do this again. So let's put a pin in this. Let's do this again. And we'll just love to continue as your journey and processing and learning. Next time we'll see you'll be a graduate Oh, geez. Big deal.
Watch out.
Watch
out. Call that's me when doctor.
I can't
Don't
wait.
Don't you dare.
But if I show up in a white coat, we can all laugh like, for the few people that will have seen.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for joining us Cheers. Today. It was lovely.